Hi there, this is Chris Fent. I'm your host of the Master Universe Chronicles, and you're listening to It Figures, which you can find on thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. Enjoy.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of It Figures on thatnewtoysmell.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. I'm Pixel Dan.
Killin'.
I'm Duvall.
I'm Flavor Dave.
Oh yeah!
Flavor Dave!
Flavor Dave in the house, y'all.
Vanilla is a flavor.
Yes! Vanilla is a flavor.
So is salty.
Hey, you know who's missing?
I'm not.
Where is I'm not? Not you. Definitely not you. Okay.
Is Lost on tonight?
Probably.
Yes.
Oh, I watched 24 last night. It was a 2-hour premiere.
Too bad it's not going to last much longer.
It's amazing. I know. I'm so sad. 24 is an amazing show.
I've never watched 24.
Especially this last season was great. It's my favorite.
What's up, guys?
It's my favorite show.
Not much. We just got through the Easter holiday. Was everybody's Easter? Did anybody here do celebrating on Easter?
Well, if you count going to an arcade convention with Killen and watching him buy all kinds of cool stuff, yes.
You guys did that the Saturday before Easter.
But it was still Easter weekend.
That's true. It was still the weekend.
It's a holiday.
Easter Sunday actually was my 1-year wedding anniversary. But I totally had to spend the entire day doing family stuff.
So thanks, Killen.
I'm married, yes.
That means you can't have other girls. Ha 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 ha.
Okay. We'll just go and skip past that.
Probably a good idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lucky you. It's amazing.
So, you got a daughter. Did you do Easter stuff with her?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
That's awesome. The end of that conversation.
Actually,
that's all there is.
Actually, I was packaging orders from the Pop Culture Network store until 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. And then went home and slept for like a couple hours. And then I had to get up for her because she was wanting to get her Easter basket. And then we had to go to a big family thing. And then my parents and them, there's a couple kids in the family. So they decided they were going to buy all these Easter eggs and hide them throughout the yard.
Yeah.
But they bought like 2,000 eggs.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, we had so many, like, you could just step on them and crush them everywhere you were walking. It was ridiculous.
Was there anything in the eggs?
Yeah, it was candy. It was all, miscellaneous candy.
Candy.
And then I did that for about 3-4 hours. Then I went straight back to packaging, and I stayed until Monday morning at 5 a.m. And then, of course, I had to come back and open up at 10:30. So.
Nice. That sounds like a very exciting day.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
So have any of you guys ever had a toy? Like, has Easter ever been like a toy holiday for any of you?
It was when I was younger.
When I was a little kid, yeah.
Yeah. Because some people do that. Some people do that, and some don't. Like, I remember some families always made like a huge deal out of Easter, like it was a second Christmas.
Yep.
And then other families didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. I always got one toy on Easter. That was always like the big thing. But my parents
that's how it was with me too. Like one toy.
Yeah. Yeah. My parents always did this really cool thing though, where like we'd get up and we'd get our Easter baskets, all our candy, and then there would be a single plastic egg in the basket. And we would open it up, and there'd be a little note in it that would send us on, like, an egg find. And we would basically go all around the house, all over finding different eggs in the different places it told us. And when we got to the end of it, we found our toys. And I always thought that was really cool.
That's
but, yeah,
cool.
It was always just, like, a small one, like, one action figure.
Yeah.
Or it was something like that, but it was still cool.
I think the one I remember growing up was me and my brothers, I must have been, I don't know, 12 maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe 13. I don't know. Anyways, I woke up one morning, went to get our basket, and they had bought all the Ninja Turtles, and they had them, like, gripping the basket at different angles, you know, in the scene.
So cool.
So that was, that's the only time I remember getting toys, but it was like all the Ninja Turtles from the whole line.
That is so cool, though. That is awesome.
And I'm sure we'd, you know, destroy them.
It's hard for me to remember, like, the specifics I got, but I do remember the year, 1 year I got Boba Fett, and I was real excited about that because it was my first Boba Fett figure. And
you always remember your first Fett.
Yeah, always remember your first Fett. Always. I think 1 year I got some like Hot Wheels track sets because I went through a phase where I was real big into the Hot Wheels tracks. But wow. It was always stuff like
really?
That. Yeah, well, just for a while. That was a real short phase.
I wouldn't
phase.
Tell anybody about that.
That was a real short phase. Trust me, I ran out of that pretty quick.
Oh. So the only thing I can think of off the top of my head is I remember vividly getting Egon and. Well, the Green Ghost from Real Ghostbusters before he was Slimer for one Easter, and I remember that was awesome.
Last year?
Was that last year?
Yes, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's good times, good times.
So speaking of Hot Wheels, we was at Toys R Us yesterday with me and my daughter, because I take her there so I can look at Legos. And there was, okay, in the Toys R Us section, there's the big wooden train.
Yep,
in
Thomas the Train.
In the Magic Train. Okay.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, yes. My God, those things are expensive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she,
super expensive.
She loves... Okay, so they got Thomas the Train toys on one side, and then across from them, they have this generic off-brand.
Imaginarium.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's playing with these trains, and she will not leave them alone. Like, we were there for like 30 minutes, and I kept trying to pull her away, and it just wasn't going to happen.
That's a very common thing in that
story. Yep.
And then so I was looking at these trains, like, well, maybe I'll buy her some. And I'm looking at them like... Okay, so it's $12 for a tiny little train, and then, of course, you need track. That's $50 for a corner.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this desk. I'm like, what would it cost me to build this desk that they have out here? Oh, I don't know, $500-$600?
Yeah, you would have to mortgage your house to afford a decent-sized play area.
Why are they so expensive?
I have no idea, but they are wildly popular.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So I bought one of the generic off-brands.
Yeah.
So there's a sale on one of them, like 50% off for a huge set. And then, of course, right next to it is a little girl set. You know, she's almost three. So she sees the box, and it has boys on it. And she sees the box next to it, which is the same price but half the set. And it has two pictures of two little girls on it. And she's looking at both these boxes, and I'm like, pick the bigger set. It's a better deal. And she's like... No, this is for boys. This is for girls. And I cannot convince her otherwise.
Oh,
so we had to buy the smaller set because it had a picture of two little girls on it versus the two little boys.
Good. Good.
That's how they get you, dude.
Yeah. And then I take it home and I put it together. And I bought one of the Thomas trains, the pink one. Rosie, I think it is.
Yeah.
And then, so I bought that and I put it on the train because the trains they gave you were so generic in comparison.
Really?
And I put it on the tracks and it's like... The trains kind of fall off the tracks. It's not. It's like they took a mold of their tracks and they did it so it's a little bigger than it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I'm like, I wish I didn't buy this thing. It's a pig, you know, it's crap. Don't buy the cheap trains.
Well,
don't
ever buy anything that's a Toys R Us brand, which is Imaginarium and Animal Alley, all that.
Whatever happened
junk.
To Brio? Is that still going on?
No, Brio's been dead a long time.
What's Brio?
It was the train. Thing.
Oh, really?
That was the big thing before Thomas
had
its own line, I guess.
Oh, wow.
It was the exact same pieces, but it was the expensive one, just like the Thomas's.
Oh, like the Thomas.
So I almost was convinced that Brio became Thomas the Train.
You never know. Yeah, that Thomas stuff is crazy expensive. Like the toys and the DVDs, dude. They're
all
so popular, it's ridiculous.
And it's so simple, you
know
what I mean? There's nothing
amazing
by these parts.
The English guy that created it is a ridiculous billionaire right now.
I guess it's made out of, like, amazing wood or something.
It's like, oh, I got bad teeth, but I'm making lots of money from my Thomas chain.
That was a good
like
accent.
That? Thanks.
Accent, yeah.
I worked really hard on that all night.
That was like the Chris Vent accent.
Oh. Hello, I'm Chris Vent. This is the Masters of the Universe podcast.
Hey, somebody else has got to do the Alan Price.
Why are you whispering?
That's how he...
Honestly, I don't even know if I even heard Alan talk before.
Alan's got the Operation Retro.
I know, but I haven't listened
way
to
one.
Oh, way to go!
I know.
You guys just yelled at me for.
I keep trying to play
show.
It in the store when I'm working during the day, and like people keep walking in.
People walk in and they're like, "What are those?"
I
crazy
think that's
accents?
The only podcast I have not listened to yet, and now I feel like a retard. So thanks.
Hey, no problem, dude. That's what we're here for.
But tomorrow I will make a special effort to listen to it while at work, so I can get caught up.
There you go. All right.
Because I totally mean to, but I always forget.
Now Alan's going to have to, like, quiz you.
Yes.
That's only like I listen to the Masters one every most of the time, but the I haven't even listened to that one.
You're supposed to be listening to everything. You're
the
boss.
I'm supposed to, but I just haven't. I knew Chris and then Alan. They do a good job on everything else. I figured there's no way they would mess this up. So I just
see you say that.
So I took a chance on it and let it go.
Great. Wow. We have such high standards here at Pop Culture Network.
It's good times. It's good times.
Look, man, I get like 4 hours of sleep. I don't got time to think. That's why you got to email me everything. I can't remember anything.
That's why I'm here. That's why I listen to everything. I have to report back to Killen what I know.
If you email me, like, something, I'll remember it. But if you don't email me and just tell me, there's no way you, like, hey, don't forget to lock the door because you'll blow up. I'll die. Because you're going to have to send me a message.
That'd be a messed up situation. I don't even know how we'd get to that point.
And then I'd be like, you didn't tell me.
Lock the door.
Dirt put a bomb on the door, and if you don't lock it, you die. Huh?
You know, just a common situation like that. Just
common situation.
Just, everyday occurrence. That would happen. God. That could happen.
Welcome to the crazy world of Killens, where you die going out the door.
So, just before Easter, or just after Easter? No, it was before. Before Easter, we had another quasi-holiday. Which was April Fool's Day.
April Fool's
Day. Which the ball already did his whining about on his show.
But, I didn't catch any April Fool's.
But, I wanted to... The only thing that I really noticed is that there was an abundance of Masters of the Universe April Fool's jokes this
Boy,
year.
Boy, was there.
And I think that just, attributes to the fact that that's such a hot property right now. It's such a hot internet topic right now.
Yeah,
so everybody jumped
show
on
up? The Photog showed up.
Uh-huh. Well, everybody's thing was... Oh, Mattel finally reveals San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. So, you saw that 50 times, and they were all showing different figures.
Yeah.
So you knew, obviously, that something was up. But, we had, what was it? One site showed, which was pogostal.com, which is a pretty cool site.
Yeah.
Been there. They had this cool Fearless Photog reveal that was like a Photoshop, really good Photoshop job, actually.
Yeah.
Of the Fearless Photog. And then... I think it was Action Figure Insider revealed Claudine, which was this terrible-looking, like, pink battle cat with the awful hair. Did you see it, Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the picture.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it cracked me up.
They were trying to base it off the Princess of Power Claudine, right?
Uh-huh, yep. Yes. And they made it look like that on purpose, because, man, would that just be...
awful.
Like, it's funny, because Mattel has actually said, we can reuse the battle cat mold for Panther and Claudine, and it's like, Claudine was such an ugly freaking toy.
Yeah.
And reusing the current battle cat mode to recreate that, I cannot see that happening.
No.
not in a good way. Like, I don't know, the horsemen have surprised me before, but, man, dude, Claudine, it's a big pink cat with, like, curly hair and stuff.
Yeah, and it came with a comb.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
All I know is... It's April Fool's, so to me, everybody's got a knife, and I don't trust anybody.
I'm not kidding.
Right? Hey, kill
long,
a knife!
Like, nope,
get away
nope.
from me!
What about the big reveal of Skeletor's new vehicle, Quackosaurus?
Dude, Quackosaurus was awesome.
The remake for that was actually somebody on the He-Man.org forums did that, but that made me laugh, just because it was... Like, they had this whole story for it, and you scroll down and see the picture, and it's just blatantly this dude holding the rubber ducky in the bathtub.
With Skeletor sitting on it. It's awesome.
So
But Quackosaurus has got little Skeletor heads on it, which is great.
Yeah, that was good stuff. And then that one jerk that did that Disco Skeletor video. I don't know who that was.
Pickle Dan.
Oh, Pickle Dan?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, it was Pickle Dan.
It's Hot Dog Dan.
Hot Dog? I was Pickle Hot Dog. Pickle Hot Dog. My favorite part is that I actually got an email from Toy Guru, and he posted on the HEMA.org thread, too, where he was just like, this was pretty awesome. I really should get around to making sure this figure gets made. And I'm like, good.
Dude.
So, that figure gets made, I'm getting the blame for it.
You're getting the blame, and Dirt will dance forever.
Oh, he'd be so happy, wouldn't he?
Because he'd have an official Disco Skeletor.
And then Toy Guru posted on the HEMA.org boards. He goes, yeah, if we do that figure, we're going to totally use that bio. I was like, yep, that works for me. Make sure I get credit for writing that.
You got to get some kickback from
it. That was really hard to write, so I just want to make sure I get some credit.
What did it say again?
Disco Skeletor likes to partay.
That's right, likes to partay.
That was his bio. It was very, very, a lot of thought went into that one. That was hard to come up with.
Yeah, there's a lot of backstory to go into that
one. I know, I really had to make sure, I covered all my bases and didn't,
Now what? Yeah, you kind of
had to respect the continuity.
You had to think about what kind of party would he go to? Just a regular party or a partay?
So, as long as I get credit, I'm cool with them using that. A lot of people have asked, though, if, like, like that was actually painted or whatever. Yeah, I painted that.
Dan actually did that for Dirt. Dirt really wanted it.
Dirt's got this really weird fascination with that figure, and while I think that that figure is humorous, just because, like, really, what were they thinking when they made that figure? Like those colors. But Dirt takes that to a whole new level.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand.
He's got a vintage Disco Skeletor.
Yeah.
He's got a classics Disco Skeletor.
He keeps buying different Skeletor figures and handing them to me and asking me to paint them like that.
Doesn't he have a new Adventures Disco Skeletor?
He's got one coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on it. So when he gave me the classic Skeletor and asked me to paint it like that, like right then and there I knew that I was going to make a review out of it and just do this April Fool's thing just because I was like... All right, well, at least I get this out of it, you know?
Yeah, but he's got to the extreme point where, like, you can get a Smurf toy in and be like, hey, Disco Smurf, paint it, everything. Yeah.
Is there a disco version? Like, what? Where is that coming from? He's crazy.
Yeah, he's great.
That's what happens when you wear a mask 24/7.
So moving right along, as far as April Fool's jokes go, Mattel also played one on us, as we all know.
Yeah, I already talked about that. I'm going to get a Sony.
Yeah, but
fun.
They backed that up by the next day giving us the real answers to the Ask Maddie questions, which, you know, that's cool with me. I didn't mind
As if
it.
You didn't know.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was a funny thing, because I actually was talking to Dirk, because he was like, I don't know, it looks to me like they actually really answered those questions. They just used 8-ball things, you know, disguise the answers. And I was like, I don't think those are the real answers. Which, of course, they turned out not to be, because, you know, on some of the ones where they were just blatantly saying no, they ended up saying yes in the real answer. So they just randomly inserted 8-ball answers into the questions, and they said
that.
Yeah,
but boy, did they make people mad.
I didn't think people got that mad about it. Everybody knew
Masters
that
of the Universe fans got upset about something.
No, that doesn't happen. Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, that never happens.
When do we ever get mad about anything?
That's you know,
you guys are just happy to have
Masters,
a toy line.
The
You're
Masters
grateful.
Fans, yeah, we're so laid back. We're so laid back. It's cool.
Dave is a true fan of my show. That's a true fan speaking right there.
Okay, here we go with this.
If Mattel wanted to throw an April Fool's joke that really got everybody, they should have been like, yeah, everything's shipping on time, everything's great, no problems.
Wow, yes.
Oh, yeah, we fixed all the
Digital River
problems.
We fired Digital River, and we have a new shipping company.
April Fools.
You get screwed next week.
What? Okay.
Yeah, where's Mattel's headquarters?
Hey,
that place would be on fire.
If Mattel did that, I'm not even sure I could be mad. Just because I'd be like, wow, they had a lot of balls to do that. Like, bravo, Mattel. Yes. You got all of us with that one. That would be amazing. Dang.
Wow.
So anyway.
It's
always next year.
So anyway, we got the real answers, and I didn't want to dive into this too deep, because I'm sure everybody's read them by now, but I liked some of the stuff they said about, like, the Ghostbusters. We had a lot of Ghostbusters questions this time, and somebody asked if they still plan to get to the cartoon versions, and they said yes, that they are doing the cartoon stuff.
They're talking about doing a rookie figure from the game.
Yeah, they're talking about doing a rookie figure from the Ghostbusters
game. We already
know
they're doing a 4-pack.
Oh, and they just announced the 4-pack. That's right. But they didn't announce any details about the 4-pack.
No.
They just said it would be the 4 Ghostbusters. So I'm wondering if it's going to be like the Ghostbusters 2 costumes, or if they're going to do the animated things. Well, we know you don't care, but...
Maybe if they make Ghostbuster Legos.
Care. Yeah. Hey, how awesome would that be?
Hey, I actually have decals to make Ghostbuster Legos.
Yes, you do.
I just couldn't get them off the stick. Like, whoever, the company that printed them on, is like impossible to peel off sticker paper.
Oh, really?
So I couldn't get them off,
we should
but
try that
I actually have the... Well, I think I threw them away because I got so frustrated.
Oh, no. You got to find some more. We'll try it again.
But no, they went unpill, but they were actually to make your Legos. They had, you know, all the name tags and all the
That's
equipment
so
on.
That's so cool. Awesome.
Yeah. It was good
Just
time.
So you know.
So, but what else did they talk about? Oh,
well,
they
talked about more discounts, like they talked about the coupon for Battlecat and how they're going
to
do more
of
that.
Somebody asked if they were planning to do more, and they pretty much said, well, we already did this, this, and this. We might do something else. I don't think we're going to be seeing anything else for this.
No.
Year. Not
yet. This year.
I mean, they're giving us the special figure. They're giving us the map. They gave us the surprise $8 discount. And, well, it'd be cool to get more stuff. I mean... At least they did all that.
Yeah.
You know? At least they did that stuff.
Yeah. Let me get something for free. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that, and I mean, you talk about they're talking to somebody. They were asking about more 2-packs from Toys R Us, mm-hmm. like Attila and who did they
Wonder
say?
Wonder Woman.
Or I don't know, just ship Toys R Us more of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and
our Toys R Us in Springfield has got one case. Dave has two of them, and Scotty Cash has the other two that were in that one case, and that was a month and a half.
That's
ago.
All they've gotten.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all they've gotten.
Here's the thing, like, their answer, Mattel's answer to that, too, like, I was perfectly fine with, because basically they said, you know, well, that's something we'd like to do, but we need to see how these perform first. And a lot of people were like, what do you mean, see how they perform first? They sold out like crazy. But here's
the
thing
with that.
Well,
yeah, but that's not hard when you only get one case.
Exactly. Here's the thing with that. Like, a lot of times when these store exclusives come out, they are really hard to find at first. Let's take, for example, that last exclusive wave of the DC Universe Classics figures.
Oh, Walmart wave, yeah.
That Walmart wave that was really hard to find at first, but by the end of the line...
Well, it's in some towns.
Springfield had a weird, weird, freaky thing where I think our Walmart got them all.
Yeah, because they were really hard to find at first, and then all of a sudden we got a massive amount of them, and
but
you can walk into the Veterans store right now,
you can
and still
find
the black suit Batman, you can still find Power Girl.
That's it.
I mean, but still.
And you know, occasionally you might find a Forger, but you cannot find the Man-Bat. You're not going to find Joker.
But you could for a while.
You could for a while.
There was
briefly,
a while when I was walking
briefly,
into that.
Because I went and bought them all every
but
time.
Now, yeah,
well, there you go.
Way to go, Scalper.
Yay, Scalper.
You can't find them at all. Because I bought them.
Because I bought
but
them.
But I do travel a lot. And as I travel, I always stop at all the Walmarts to see what they got and what they carry.
You did find Harley Quinn out of nowhere.
Yeah, I found Harley Quinn. That was amazing.
That was weird.
But they're always Power Girl. No one wants the Power Girl. Obviously that,
which is weird. You think big boobs would sell?
Yeah, that was the one everybody was like talking about being the hardest one to find before it came out. It was like everyone's going to get the girl with the boobs.
But everywhere I go, I see her filling the pegs.
Like. I know she's all over the veterans one here in town.
Boy, that didn't sound good.
What?
She's all over veterans.
That was like the weakest.
Sorry,
that was a bit of a stretch.
Way sorry.
So anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that those exclusives don't always stay hard to find forever. Like, there's a good chance, like, we don't know, there's a good chance that all of a sudden these trucks are going to show up and those things are just going to be all over the Toys R Us pegs next week.
Yeah, usually Toys R Us is one of the better places about exclusives. Usually.
Yeah, and like, once all the collectors get the ones they want, then they're going to end up sitting there.
Yeah.
You never know. So
I doubt it. They could put 100 in the store and I bet they'd be gone in a week.
And that
now
could
they
be.
Will because
that
now there's a
be.
Hype about it.
Yeah, and that could be. But that's what I'm saying, though. Mattel says that they want to wait to see how they do first. I'm just saying that I think that's an accurate... statement by them because it is a little too early to tell if it's time to go into production on different sets yet or not. You know,
well,
what I mean?
I don't get it because they sell right away to Toys R Us. Toys R Us says, "I want 10,000. Here's the money." So they sold them. Yeah. They're not really worried about how Toys R Us sells them.
And
that's Toys R Us's problem.
And Toys R Us pretty much paid for everything, the packaging and all that, because they had to pay up front to get those as exclusives. So,
So I'm thinking, how do they not know right away? Oh, it was great. We sold 10,000 units yesterday.
I don't know. I don't know how they.
Maybe
know
they're
that.
Like, should we print another 2,000?
Well,
you know,
that's probably what they're doing.
Again, this is Toys R Us we're also talking about, and Dan and I can both agree that it's probably one of the most ridiculously screwed up companies in the nation.
All the employees are taking those things.
Well, yes, most of them are.
Duvall used to do that all the time. Not me, though.
You liar.
I never
you
did
hit
that.
Stuff.
You never hide stuff? Never hide stuff?
I don't know. Why would I do that?
Actually, I think I want to make sure next week.
And
I heard Dave talking about the He-Man packs.
Yep.
Looking for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks.
Who's an employee there, for those of you.
It sucks how hard they are to get, but, I mean, you never know. They could show up again. Maybe Toys R Us ordered, like, a whole bunch of replacements, and we're just waiting on the shipments from Mattel. You never know, I guess.
I'm not going to believe your lies.
Let's wait, like, a month if they're still, like, impossible to find.
I don't believe your lies!
Hopefully Mattel will go into production on some new ones, or that's not the last of them, but I don't know. We'll see.
Honestly, I don't care. I got the Skeletor. I'm good.
Yeah, you got the
I need to get one for Chris Vint.
A lot of people still
I need to get the
them.
He-Man for Chris Vint, and then, I mean, I don't know. I might buy it. I'm debating. I really don't care about He-Man, but... It's something that's cool enough that maybe I'll
keep
buy
it in
it.
The box. It's in the cool
package.
Yeah, I
mean, that's the only reason to have it is
like
it's, in the box.
It's in a sweet package, and, you know, it's always something you can display, and if you want to, just sell it later on.
But
that'll probably always be worth something.
But I could care less. I'm sick of He-Man.
Well, you...
I'm sick of it.
Because you're with us half the time.
Everything's He-Man, 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 He-Man,
well, you know,
He-Man, He-Man, He-Man.
He-Man is my Lego.
Yep.
Get over it.
We get tired of hearing about Legos.
First of all, you barely hear about Legos, so relax. And so,
oh my God!
No, that's not
no,
true.
That's not true.
Not hanging out with you.
No,
that's
no,
true.
No. That's my go-to answer, but it's not. I'm not like, hey guys, open my Lego door and go sit on my Lego desk. And
you had a Lego desk. That would be the greatest thing ever.
I think we should make this store out of Legos.
It would be like that. You remember that commercial with the guy who touched things and turns to Skittles?
Yes.
And he touches the desk and it just falls apart. That's what it would be like. You come in here and you would sit at your desk and it would just crumble.
The Lego pieces. That would be awesome.
Because I ain't gluing my Legos.
Somebody press these Legos hard enough together.
I'm not gluing my Legos. F that.
So, guys, hey, if you want to participate in the Ask Maddie, you are more than welcome to do so. We send questions to them twice a month. We're allowed to pick 5 questions each time, so that's 10 questions that they answer for us every month. And all you have to do to submit your question is to join the forums. So head on over to the site, popculturenetwork.com, sign up for the forums. You can post your questions right there. We'll send them on to Mattel. We'll have some answers. So it'd be great to have... We already have a lot of fan participation on that. It's actually one of the more popular things we have on the site right now. It's pretty crazy.
Do it right now. You're sitting in front of your computer.
Yeah, you're sitting in front of your computer right now. Type you're listening to us. Go to the site, sign up for the forums, talk about some toys and stuff while you're there, too. There's plenty of things. A lot of great people there. So, all right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to touch on one of Duvall's favorite topics.
Woohoo! My show has bleeded over into this one. Great. Yes!
Good. Himself. Awesome. That's his favorite topic. Yeah.
Duvall's favorite topic, himself. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Rob Bass. I have a show called Not Mitten Box, where I cut open the toys of yesteryear and toys of today. Heck, if I could cut open the toys of the future, I'd cut those open as well. So if you want to watch a show that makes mint on card collectors cry, can't hurt to check out my show. And as always, you're listening to the only podcast about toys that matter. It Figures, only at ThatNewToySmell.com, a part of the Pop Culture Network. Go Team Masters.
Que pasa, compadres? You are listening to the planet's most primo podcast, It Figures. My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to popculturenetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at popculturenetwork.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to a podcast from PopCultureNetwork.com. Don't forget, we've got a store with lots of great products available. Every time you make a purchase, you're helping to keep us on the air. So don't forget, we've got comic books, we've got video games, we've got toys and collectibles. Anything you can think of, really, that's going to be cool and geeky and nerdy, we're going to have in our store. We got retro, we've got new, we've got everything. So stop by the Pop Culture Network store and check it out. Check it out at www.popculturenetwork.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. Today, we are going to have a nice old discussion on action figure grading, the AFA.
I haven't drank a soda in like a month, and that just hit me like a
What are you doing drinking soda? You're supposed to be done with that.
I know, but I'm thirsty right now. That's all
we got. That's all we got. Okay, all right. So anyway, for those of you who don't listen to Duvall's awesome ranting show...
You should. Yes!
Shouldn't.
Okay, let's get past the self-promotion and hype and get to the topic at hand. Okay. Duvall's big point on the show today was that he is fairly against action figure grading. Now, after listening to the show, Killen is on the opposite side of that spectrum...
Mm-hmm.
And Dave is fairly in agreeance with Duvall. So we decided to have this discussion, this debate.
It's a battle.
This battle.
Right. We're about to rap battle.
Today's podcast. I will probably throw my 2 cents in here and there, but I have a weird medium stance on this, so I will let you guys do the battling, and I'll ref.
Okay.
How about that? Okay. So who wants to start? Where are we going? Where are we starting here? What's the starting position?
Well, go ahead and tell your side of it again so that people understand how we're going to attack this.
Explain. Here's the short version of what I discussed on the show this week. The AFA, which was created by Brian's Toys, is pretty much ruining most of the secondhand marketplace for vintage toys. Now, understandably, most vintage toys, like if you were looking for a Minton Box Optimus Prime, you'd pay maybe $300 for it. Not a big deal. It's a Minton Box Optimus Prime. It's from the 84 series. Cool beans. It's all great. But now that the graded toys have hit, basically the AFA will take these toys, grade them, and if you get anywhere from like an 80 to a 90, which is hard to do on a 90, your $300 Minton Box Optimus Prime that you could afford suddenly becomes a $2,000 piece of plastic that no one wants to buy unless you're Nicolas Cage and have ridiculous amounts of money in three islands.
Okay, so first of all, don't worry about it if it's graded, and you worry about the price. Buy a non-graded toy.
What I'm trying to tell you though is that eventually you're not going to have non-graded toys. Listen to me. A lot of this vintage stuff eventually is going to get graded.
See, the nice stuff will get graded.
Yeah, you won't be able to get any more of this nice stuff. Hell, even the loose stuff nowadays is getting graded.
There has to be a top tier. There has to be something to strive for, and it cannot be easily affordable, otherwise everyone would have it. You got to have a holy grail.
But vintage toys are already, by definition, limited.
Yeah.
Because they've been made, they were played with. They were blown up by firecrackers.
There's a difference. So, there's a difference.
That's paying $300 to begin with.
Okay. Just because a company asks $10,000doesn't mean they're getting $10,000. That's just like they're selling a car. Look, I want $10,000. What are you going
to
give them?
But see, what I'm trying to tell you is that I have seen these toys 2 years ago at San Diego Comic Con. They had a huge auction that was sponsored by Brian's Toys. They were a big part of it. They sold a lot of the stuff they had in stock that was all graded by them, and these toys went for ridiculous amounts of money. I'm talking Mitten Package Ghostbusters that were graded, went for $400 or $500 a piece.
Uh-huh. They're graded.
The starting bid on them was $150.
Right.
And you'd pay for $150 just for the figure itself, Mitten Package.
You're basically giving me the story that I want everything to be cheap. Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is why it's important that things are... This is important why this happened. Okay, aside from Brian's Toys trying to build their own thing and make money for themselves, which was, you know, a great move for them, it's very important that this happened in the toy market, especially since this has always been a you collect toys, haha, you're a nerd kind of a thing. You know what I mean? So now that they develop these products and they turn them into a high-tier item, as in they're expensive and they're valuable and they're more of an investment now. Now you're going to get all these people who would never even think about collecting toys, get into the market, and there's going to be new people, new businesses that are going to develop out of this. Like, personally, I probably wouldn't have picked up toys to sell in our store if there was no money in it. And if I don't know, there's eventually an end game where you're going to gain tons of money down the road, or a way that, you know, maybe one day I could be super rich off this. There'd been no way I would have gotten into this. And there's probably a lot of people that are like that. So by them doing this, they're developing a new tier of collecting, bringing in new people that wouldn't even touch toys previously.
Well, it's a new tier.
Which soaks up even more.
Now, the shame about this is that it's going to take it out of most average Joe's hands, mm-hmm. which, you know, hey, it's getting vintage. Most stuff it already is, just because they're now degrading it and developing. You're only going, you know, the market developed. Okay, right. They graded it, and they're only as valuable as what you're willing to pay.
Right, and that's always been the case, but now it's gotten ridiculous to the point where a piece would be $300 is suddenly, you know, triple.
I don't think you can blame grading for that, though. I think that this is eBay's fault.
Part of it is eBay's fault.
eBay definitely has a hand in the
because now you set a price, and some guy says, I want $5,000 for that. And you're like, that was retarded.
Right.
And then another guy says, well, there's one on eBay for $5,000, so I want $6,000. That's the fault.
And you and I had this talk on the way to the arcade auction the other day about it. I had come across old Tomarts and Lee's action figure guides from like 94, 95 before eBay was really something huge. And inside these books were, you know, full-page ads with people selling, like, vintage King Rex for $18 mint
but
cards.
But back then, they weren't vintage.
Well, they were vintage. They were still vintage.
Come on. I mean, go back 10 years.
They got bigger.
Vintage is it.
And that was 10 years after before that.
That's not that far, though. If I hold on to a toy right now, and in 10 years from now, it's not going to be worth very much more. But if I hold it until another 10 years, for 20 years, it's going to be high.
Well, see, that's the thing, is you can never tell in this business, in toys or comics, what's going to be hot. The reason vintage toys are so hot and people are grading them like crazy now is because they know there are people out there that will pay ridiculous amounts of money for graded toys, which therefore ruins the marketplace for anyone that doesn't have thousands of dollars to spend on a piece.
Here's the other thing I think. I've had this stance for a while, too. The market has gotten so oversaturated with this kind of stuff now, as far as, like, okay, toy collecting started because all of us were kids when all that stuff was originally out, and we've grown up, and now they're releasing all the stuff that we used to have as kids or everything like that, so that's kind of where the whole collector market came from, I think. You know, we kind of grew up and never got away from the toys followed us. Now they're producing all this stuff as collector's merchandise, not for kids to play with. And I don't think any of the stuff that's released today is going to be as valuable as the stuff from the 70s and 80s.
Anything produced probably mid-90s on, because everybody's got five of them you know, in a storage bin somewhere.
Well, look at the Star Wars collection. Look at how much Killen's bought over
the past year.
The 90s ruined all collecting.
Well, that's what happened.
The 90s ruined collecting for toys and for comic books.
And for train cars, sports cars, everything.
It was because
I'm sure stamp collecting, I don't know.
When the collector market grew, that's when all of that died. Because the reason that all that stuff from the 80s and the 70s and even the 60s is so valuable is because when those toys were bought, they were bought to be played with.
They were played with. Like I said, they were played with.
Yeah, exactly.
They got dirt on them. They were open.
So when we try to get a hold of those now, it's harder to do so because most of them were tossed in the trash or broken or, you know, given to Goodwill, Salvation Army, whatever. Whereas nowadays, people buy this stuff specifically to throw it in a closet and save it for 20 years and see what it's worth. Yeah. And I think that right there is what's going to kill. Like, 20 years from now, I don't think toys are going to be worth crap anymore.
No.
Seriously.
I mean, all the stuff that we're talking about now that we're after is going to still be worth lots of money. But all this stuff, like this Master Universe Classic
it's
stuff
gonna
that's
be,
going
it's
going to
be valuable. Because you know what? The new generation is going to grow up, and they're going to be more influenced than we were previously on collecting. And
yeah, but they're going to collect like video games and stuff they actually played with, not toys that some grown-up pulled out of their hands.
That's the other thing. Kids these days are all about video games, not toys. Yeah. Like, it's very obvious that most of the toy market is for guys like us.
Yeah,
Even though they're marketed for kids, it's mostly us that's buying
and
that stuff.
And if you look at the toy aisles, the age groups that they're targeting don't go any higher than 7 years old anymore.
Yeah, because they know,
don't.
Once you hit a certain age as a kid, it's all about video games now.
That's
where all they care
about. So go look at Batman Brave and the Bold or, you know, Bakugan or Toy Story that's in the boys' aisles of Toys R Us.
Games were good when I was a kid, too, but not as big as they are now.
Just because there was barely any games
on
the market.
When we were kids, it was, you know, it was 84, 85. It was Atari and Nintendo. The arcades were huge. Now the arcade market has collapsed. You know, the pinball market has collapsed. You know, the home console market has come back from the verge of destruction, you know, once, and has almost gone there again several times, so.
The home console market's where it's at, and that's put a damper on the whole toy thing, too, I think. Yep. I really do.
Because when you've got 360, PS3, when you've got online, you know, Xbox Live, you've got all these experiences they can have with other players around the world, and suddenly playing with toys seems far and distant.
The only reason I think that games will be going off topic, I guess. But the only reason I think games are going to be valuable is because they're trying to phase out physical copy.
That's true, too.
That's part of it, yeah.
That is, yeah. And I really hope they don't do that, by the way. But, yeah, you're right.
So I do see the games becoming very valuable in the future only because they're going to phase them out, and that's going to be it. Yep. They're trying to get everybody to download everything on their stores now, so.
So back to the whole figure grading thing. I've always had, I don't know, my stance on it is kind of a weird one because I'm not against it, but I'm not for it. And my problem with it has always been I didn't understand how somebody could look at something, slap a number on it, and suddenly make it hundreds of dollars more valuable. I didn't like that concept. I didn't like looking at something and going, well, that guy says it's an 80, so they're charging $500 for it. I don't understand. You know, that's kind of always been my thing.
Well, yeah, the whole thing is, I mean, they should set up some kind of, I mean, this is done by a group of people that only do it to better themselves and their stuff.
To me, that's part of it. It's like Brian's Toys offers these things that they graded, and therefore they made more valuable just by looking at it and putting it in a plastic box.
Yeah, let's look at it this way.
Convenient.
Brian's Toys, the guy that runs Brian's Toys, he and his late father used to go around and buy people's collections. They would go to these old people's homes and buy these collections and turn around and sell them. That's how Brian's Toys became what it was, because they used to go around buying vintage Star Wars stuff that was in crisp. You know, they'd pay guys $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 for, you know, groups of pieces and take them back. And then suddenly he's making tons of money off Star Wars, and suddenly it's like, well, how else can we make money? Well, let's start grading comics and let's start grading toys and let's see where that goes. And it suddenly exploded.
I think the toy grading thing is good. I like the concept. I don't like that there's a dominant force that's backed by an actual store that sells them. Mm-hmm. I think there should be an independent thing where there's no association. That would be fair.
They're not independent,
but to me, when you get someone graded, it's like buying insurance. You're assuring the quality and the value of your item. And if you're even thinking about grading, you think you have something valuable.
But I agree to that on a certain extent. I agree to that.
Because how mad would you be?
I talked about my BraveStarr stuff.
If all this stuff became worth a dollar.
I'm never going to sell it. I'm never going to sell that BraveStarr stuff.
What do you ask?
I want it so I can display it where it's safe. And I know
okay,
it's safe.
Well, okay, so you think it's... But you're also trying to protect the value. Because you'd be mad. You'd be so mad if all of a sudden everything's worth a dollar.
But some people don't.
I honestly wouldn't. If my whole collection was worth nothing tomorrow, I'd be happy because that means I could like
get
the flea markets and load up.
But Dave, you're in a unique position because this is more of a thing that's always stuck with you. I mean, for people like that, but majority of people, when you buy something today,
it's not an investment.
It's not necessarily a business, but a lot of people who bought things. Either today or a couple of years ago, they bought it with the thought of, hey, toys are valuable. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to justify buy this because I know it will always be valuable.
And that just goes right back to why the market's saturated with that kind of stuff today.
And I guess,
but I'm in the same position as Dave. I'm the kind of guy who doesn't buy his things to turn around and sell them. I buy them because I like them. I buy them to collect them because I'm passionate about it. And I know you've always asked me before, why do you have that stuff and, why wouldn't you turn around and sell it and make some money on it? Because I don't necessarily buy things to make money on it. I buy things because...
I like Legos and I buy them, but I would like to know and have that security that there's a value behind it if I ever need money or I'm in a desperate times I have. Well, the toys are gold.
No, they're not. Legos,
gold doesn't melt over time.
Yeah, Legos right now are gold like money because they don't lose their value. Toys lose their value ridiculously so.
So I comfort myself spending the crazy amount of money on Legos knowing that they'll always be worth something, that if I for every reason needed to get out of what I have, I could. Now if I can get it graded and spend a little bit more investment and even double that security, I'm for that.
Yeah. That's assuming that the grading values are going to hold up over time. Exactly. If the market crashes, all you have is something worthless in a plastic box.
Yeah.
At least I know that it was kept pristine.
And that's, I will concede that's the one good thing, like Duvall was saying, about the whole thing is you do get these things that are kept really nice and pristine and are protected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think that's a good thing, but I think the negatives for the hobby outweigh the positive.
Yeah, it got really negative for me when they started grading loose toys. To me, that's ridiculous.
Meh.
I like the way graded toys look, loose graded toys look in those cases. I wish they would just sell those cases custom like that you could buy.
But you could never because they're all like hermetically sealed.
Yeah, aren't they sealed?
They
filled with argon
sealed.
Or something.
Yeah,
to keep
they
them,
are sealed.
Yeah, because
I've seen a lot of them loose, and I'm like, oh, those are cool. I wanted to buy them just because they look so cool loose.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I think the big point we can take out of this whole thing is that there are several different types of collectors. There's several different reasons why a lot of people are in this field, and for some people, the grading is definitely the way to go. For others, it's no big deal. We don't care about it. We don't see a reason for it.
Toy grading is insurance. It's insurance.
Well, you're right. In a sense, it is a type of insurance. I also think we're looking at it from two different perspectives because you're totally looking at it from the salesman perspective in a way, and he's looking at it from I'm just this collector guy perspective. Because you even brought up the point, whereas you wouldn't have gotten into selling toys if you didn't see value in it. And that's why, and that's part of the reason.
But
you think
I probably would
thing.
Have bought some, and I still, even if I was just a collector, I probably would have liked the idea of grading, knowing, and it, maybe it's just a personality trait that knowing that you could,
and yeah,
you
is.
Could I buy mean, something and be like, look, not only do I think it's valuable, but by industry standards, it is valuable.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. It is a personality trait because that's also part of the reason why you've been so successful as a businessman for the past almost a little over a decade now. You know that because you've got that personality where you can see something and see value in it and know that it's going to be turned around, or see something and see that it's worthless.
I don't know. I guess there's no way to win or lose this argument. It's just if you want to protect your investment and you want to ensure, even treat it like you're going to give it to your kids one day and you want them to have, maybe you can't, maybe you don't have money to save for college, or you know you're not going to be wealthy in life, but maybe by grading some of your rarer toys,
yeah, but
you
grading ain't cheap either. I mean,
but it's affordable. It's affordable, yeah. Though. Yeah. It's affordable. It's affordable.
I don't know.
And it's like, to me, giving an heirloom away. It's kept pristine. This is something that's almost guaranteed to be of value.
Assuming the market doesn't crash, and not to mention, it goes right back to what you said earlier, that something is really only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it.
I mean,
so you might have an AFA graded something that you know AFA says, oh,
this is an 85.
It's an 85. It's worth this much, but if you can't get nobody to pay for it.
Well, I don't trust, like, anytime I get it, I see guides anymore, price guides, all that stuff is, eBay killed that. There's no reason for you to buy a guide.
eBay is the price guide.
That is the price guide. eBay. That lets you know what today somebody's willing to pay for something.
Yep,
absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, there's really no right or wrong or end to this discussion. So, what I want is for our listeners.
Knife fight.
Okay. Knife fight. Go.
Can we do it Beat It style?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What I want is for our listeners to chime in on this one. I want you guys to head over to the forums, and I want you to tell us your take on AFA grading. Are you for it? Are you in the middle? Are you against it?
I'm sure that most people are against it because they are collectors and they want things cheap.
Well, let's find out. You never know.
That's it.
Just like you and I, there's two sides.
I want things cheap too, but I want to know something I could get is going to be valuable someday.
Our friend Dave Perdue, the guy that has all those Masters figures that we met at the Toy Man show, he gets everything graded. Everything. He showed it in that video that he sent us, but all of his, like, mint on card original Masters figures, everything,
they're all graded.
He gets them all graded.
He's a collector
graded.
Who wants to protect them.
Yeah, so.
He's not going to turn around and sell them, but there's value in them. He sees there's value in them.
So there's.
But that's his.
What I'm saying is we definitely have both sides.
I would like to get some graded too, but it is expensive. Yeah.
Price expensive.
But it is affordable. I mean, I could totally do it, and I probably would come out a winner a lot of the times, but. You know, if I go to a convention and I see them set up there and it's a non-hassle, easy, because those forms are kind of complicated to fill out.
Anyways. Probably at C2E2, I imagine.
I mean, I would hand them there and pay them at the booth.
We should talk to those guys.
But I would be. I don't like going to their website, filling out their forms. It's very complicated. And I'm not really sure what to do. Their pricing is not really clear.
Maybe we're
worried about your child's college education.
But when you go to the conventions and stuff, it seems such more.
They have an on-site.
Somebody's there.
They really?
Yeah. Wow. They did Chicago College.
And it seems very clear there how things are, and it seems a lot cheaper when you do it on-site.
I think that was part of my argument on my show, too, was talking about San Diego Comic Con and how, and Dave's probably seen it, too, dealers will swipe up the exclusives and take them right to the FA, get them graded overnight, and then turn around and sell them for ridiculous amounts of money because people are like, oh my God, this hero's a 9.0, I gotta have it!
That sucks. I'm not even going to lie. That's awful. Because that right there, it's hard enough to get those stupid exclusives, and all they're doing is forcing the market up on those.
But there is people who want them that way.
Yeah, but
otherwise they wouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. But that sucks, dude. Because that right there has got scalper scum written all over it to
me. Oh,
my
God, yes.
Like,
and
if you're going to...
You two haven't seen it, but Dave and I have seen it up close. Wait till you see it this year. You'll be walking by a dealer booth, and they'll have 40 exclusives sitting there.
In my opinion...
And you know what? I'll be like, okay, I'll just wait a couple, a month or two down the road when all that stuff is
easy to obtain. The bad thing is people have... The people that go to those conventions have so much expendable income when they're there, they don't even think about it. They're like, I went for $500, and this guy's got... You know, let's say he's got a hero and it's graded and it's $500. He's gonna waste all his money right there.
Yeah, but I don't get mad and get irritated by it.
The year I went, I mean, the lines were so horrible that it was kind of like I can waste 3 hours in a line, or I can pay the extra, you know, $70 for a. I can't remember what it was. Wow, that's
something in Hasbro.
It was Hasbro. Yeah, it was a G.I. Joe. Oh, the Cobra Commander. It's like, but I mean, considering what he's going for now.
Yeah.
Which Cobra Commander
the,
is it?
The blue one.
The blue one.
Podium one?
Yeah, the podium one.
Because you've got the...
I've got the black one.
I got the one in the Resolute box set.
Oh, you got lucky.
Yeah. I bought it the day after the
Cobra.
It went fast, though.
It did. They sold out that day.
Cobra!
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't want to stand in the Hasbro line for that Savage Land box set. Yeah. I found a dealer who had one that was like... I think they were like $30. This guy did it for $35 because the box was crushed. I bought it.
I'm cool with that. I just look. I've said this before. I totally think there's a difference between a reseller and a scalper. I mean, I am totally fine with somebody reselling something for a little bit higher to make some money off of it, because that's just, that's the way the world works, you know, that's, but I hate when people charge those exclusive booths, buy up as many as they can, well, run back to their booths, get them graded, and then charge $100 extra for them.
What happened at San Diego is that they had, like, on preview night, you know, they were all in the thing before it even opened. So, yeah. I mean, when it opened, there was a line. Yeah. And they were buying everything by the hand truck.
That's the big problem, is Mattel said that they weren't going to allow the dealers to buy on preview night, and they sure as heck did.
And you believed them.
They sure as heck did.
Well, what the dealers did was they that's
their fault, man. Yeah. That's their fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their bad.
The toy collectors are totally the problem in this entire situation. They should limit and keep to limits. They could stop that dealer issue if they wanted to, instantly.
Yeah, I know, but look. The toy companies look at that, and they're like, that's still money in our pockets.
Yeah.
We don't care. Let anybody buy anything they want.
Well, we don't that's get why they're
like,
stop,
that's why
so.
They're like, there's supposed to be limits on this stuff. Oh, you want to buy how many? Yeah, cool, go ahead. That's a lot of money for us. You know, they don't care. And that sucks for us, but it's almost like you can't fault them. They're a company after their business after all, you know. I don't know. Anyway, we're really getting into this pretty deep, so.
It's almost religious.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, seriously, I want to hear what everybody else has to say about this. So if you're not signed up for the forums already, please do so. Head on over there. There should be a thread up for this podcast, and I want to hear what you guys have to say about this.
And to be
this.
Clear, I'm for it, but.
But. There's a but.
I'm okay. I'm okay with it. I see the value in grading, and then I'm not too worried about it. I mean, if something's too expensive, I just won't buy it.
Yeah.
There's nothing I need that I got to cry about it.
Well, I'm not crying about anything. I'm just not for it.
Well, I'm not saying you're crying. I'm just saying people out there are freaking out because now the prices are so high. No, guess what? Don't buy it.
There are people. I mean, the only reason I brought up the argument was because that's how I felt. But yeah, there are people who go ridiculously.
I know. A lot of collectors are like freakish, where they wig out. Oh my god, I gotta have it!
Well,
just
once
relax.
Again, let's look at most of the Masters community.
Yeah. Just wait a while. Yeah. Usually, I mean, almost all these things are super expensive. You just let it blow over, yep. And they'll go down to good pricing.
Well, it's new stuff, but vintage stuff, you know. Again,
the Cosmic Key. More.
Sorry,
and that's our listeners know that we're going to wrap this up.
That was the Cosmic Key playing us off. All right, guys, we are going to go ahead and wrap things up tonight. So, again, head on over to the forums. Let's have some discussion about this. This is a good topic. Guys, make sure you stay tuned to the site this Saturday for a brand new episode of That New Toy Smell, where we will be talking about Playmates' Skeleton Warriors line.
Woo-hoo,
this is one that we've actually had requested. So
go Team Skeletor.
Go Team Skeletor Warrior. So that should be a really good episode. And as always, lots of great things on the site throughout the week. Make sure you check out Rob Bass's Not Mint in Box, Sween Halleck's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, Flavor Dave's Life in Plastic Comic Strip,
Flavor Dave!
And of course, the Masters of the Universe Chronicles podcast. All brand new stuff this week,
with
so make sure
shoes.
You check it out. Yes, with those clown shoes.
Weird.
Sweet. All right, guys, until next week, I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Killin.
I'm Flavor Dave.
Yeah. I'm Duvall.
We'll see you guys next week.